Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 180 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I'm back from Pakistan. It was interesting. It was fun. It was tough. I got sick. When I say I got sick, man, Pakistan was coming out of both ends of me at the same time. I honestly can't ever remember being that sick. I don't know if it was something in a water, in a drink, or in something I ate, but I spent one day, whew, it was tough. But I did get the show. The show must go on. So I did two shows that night, and it's the first time I've worked with a bucket, literally a bucket on each side of the stage, because you never know what might have come out of me besides words. Fortunately, nothing did. The shows were fun. Pakistan, let's see, hot, very interesting, smart, very smart people. Most of the people, if not all of the people in the audiences I performed for, were Pakistanis who had been educated in America. They go to college in the U.S. and they go back to Pakistan. And it was definitely the upper class, business owners, people who run businesses, families with money, et cetera, et cetera. Super nice people, very interesting. Hardworking, you could definitely see the working class was hardworking. Kind of a two-class country, rich and working class, which, you know, is what the Republicans want America to be. So maybe it was just a preview of what could happen here. Great talking to the people. A lot of global citizens there. I talked to one guy who, a very interesting man, his family. He grew up in Pakistan, educated at Duke University, lived in Germany for 8 years, lived in Montreal for 7 years, now back in Pakistan with his family, raising his kids, you know, beautiful homes, beautiful big houses behind these ornate walls with these beautiful wooden or iron gates in front. Again, two-class system, so obviously these is how the rich people lived. There were, you could see the apartments and sort of tenements where the poor people were. But these houses were nice and not, you know, just like anywhere else I've been, not what it's portrayed in the news. It wasn't like there were suicide bombers on every corner. There were a lot of armed guards, but these were the most casual armed guards. I don't know if their shotguns were even loaded. You know, it was just, they were just there, but they guarded some stores and restaurants, and we traveled with one in the, pickup truck we were riding. It was kind of an open back SUV kind of deal. And, but overall it was interesting. It was good. The food was good. They ate a lot of meat, a lot of beef, mutton, chicken, stuff like that. Yeah, it was a good trip. It was a good trip. Don't know if I'd do it again. The shows absolutely rocked. They loved comedy. They haven't, you know, it's obviously a new art form there. There were some local comics, none of them on the show, but it was fun talking to them about what comedy is and so on. So that was it. And I will say this, that our stupidity just travels. I'll just put it that way. They knew when I did the Ben Carson thing, they knew exactly who he was. They knew all about him. I'd say that surprised me more than anything. I did get some jokes about Pakistan. And one thing that is so funny, they ride these little bikes, okay? They're motorbikes. They're like probably 100, 125 cc, something bigger than a scooter, but a very small motorcycle. And the whole family will ride. So there'll be four people on it. And the baby sits on the gas tank. I call them bike babies. Hilarious. They just sit on the gas tank. They hold on to the handlebars. Now think, in the United States, if you have a baby, you have to have a certified car seat. It has to be in the back seat. Most people think if they have one child, they need a three-row SUV because, you know, you got to be safe. So you need something. Yeah, three rows is good. It should weigh, you know, at least 5,000 pounds. And just to keep that one baby safe, bike baby. Bike baby will kick an American baby's ass. You know why? Because bike baby is out there. Bike baby's sitting on a gas tank. You understand? Crazy, but I love seeing that. So anyway, as I said, they knew about Ben Carson. And of course, they know about Donald Trump. And they shake their heads and they ask. Now, in the time I was gone, Donald Trump hit his 100 days, which, you know, I had limited communication, limited computer access, which I'll explain later. But he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy being held to this 100-day standard because, you know, right before when he got elected, he said what he'd do in the first 100 days. So he was upset that he was held to the standard that he gave. And he said the reason he can't get anything done is this archaic system in America. You know, the Constitution. Ah, how much does that get in the way? You've got the judiciary, judges saying that you can't just make up laws, make up bans against people of a certain religion and so on. Because, you know, it's America and we have freedom of religion. And he's upset with Congress because they can't just wipe away healthcare and do it the way he says, even though he said it's complicated and he doesn't understand it. He did explain his flip-flop on NATO and saying that he didn't know what NATO was when he was first talking about it. And on. And you know, Stephen Colbert eviscerated him beautifully. Seth Meyers eviscerated him beautifully. But this is my thing. Why? Listen, America, you've spoken. This is the guy you want. This is what you want. He was bragging about his 30 or so executive orders. Now, when Barack Obama was president, executive orders were a sign of laziness, a sign of someone not wanting to work, not being willing to compromise with Congress or other branches of government or whatever. Now that Donald Trump's president, of course, it flips and executive orders are perfect. And we could go through a whole list of things like this. But you know something? Why? Why? This is what America wants. So now you want to make America great again? All you got to do is eliminate the Constitution and allow the president to do whatever he wants with executive orders in between playing golf. And America becomes great again. And that's what you want, America. I say give it to them. Give them what they want. What the hell? Who cares anymore? I'm sorry. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I was in Pakistan. Don't blame me. I was in Pakistan throwing up and among other things. It is a tough one. I honestly don't know what the answer is because you have all these pundits talking and we go round and round in circles. But Trump's approval rating is at a record low. No president's had a lower approval rating at the 100-day thing and no one cares. Listen, he's not getting impeached. He's not going anywhere. This is the way it's going to be for the next 4 years. Now it's taxes. Right now, you lower taxes on corporations, lower taxes on hedge funds, lower taxes, lower taxes, lower taxes on the rich, and take services away from the poor. You know why? Because that's what Jesus would want. Because that's the American way, right? Well, you know, you got Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, who says that Hawaii is some island in the Pacific. To the rest of us, 50th state to them, some island in the Pacific. And 4 months from now, when Donald Trump learns what Hawaii is, he'll change his mind on that. But in the meantime, we're 100 days in. The country's surviving. I guess that's the positive we can take from it. And intelligence is taking a beating on every level. Don't know if it'll survive. Don't know if it'll survive. Moving on, because, you know, you don't need any more from me. On the first 100 days, you've been living them. You read. You're out there. Just find a hammer, hit yourself in the head, and keep on moving. Boston is racist. I know. I hope you were sitting down when I said that, because it's such news. Don't know if you heard, Adam Jones, baseball player, center fielder for Baltimore Orioles, could hear him calling him a nigger and so forth from the bleachers in Boston, in historic Fenway Park. And, you know, once he said it, other players were like, well, yeah, that's Boston. Like, it was so, nobody was surprised. It was all routine. And then, you know, baseball, we're going to try to get rid of him, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, you're not. That's Boston. That's why when Michael Che said Boston's most racist city, you know, and they wanted him to take it back, he didn't. I don't know what the most racist city in America is. I'm not going to pretend to know. I'm not even going to try to guess. But I will say Boston, you got to be top 10, you know, and it's a damn shame. It's so funny because at the same time, we're watching the Boston Celtics, right? The basketball team's having a great run in the playoffs. Their best player, a guy named Isaiah Thomas, little black guy. And you see all the white fans in the stands cheering for this guy. And yet, you know, when you're a nigger when you walk outside or in the center field of a baseball stadium. I know I'm supposed to be funny. I'm sorry. Coming back from Pakistan, I'm tired. My stomach's... You ever throw up so hard your abs hurt? Like that's... It's a workout. Yeah. It's a new workout. Actually, I could probably sell the Pakistan diet here in LA. You throw up till your abs hurt. So you get rid of food and you get an ab workout at the same time. Got to work on that. Anyway, it's the same topics, people. I'm sorry. Your Trump idiocy, racism, as long as I'm on a run of the same topics. Clippers. Over, done in the first round. There goes my hopes and dreams of basketball. Just getting back, one last point on the Boston Red Sox. It's so funny when they talk about the soccer hooligans in Europe and the racism, how they call black people monkeys and throw bananas and stuff like that. And a friend of mine, Eric Griffin, great comedian, has a great routine about that. But you know what? I don't have to go to England. Just go to Boston. Anyway, NBA, it's fun to watch. It's very exciting. The Clippers are out of it, but, you know, I can always shift to being a Met fan. They just lost 23-5. It might be time for me to give up sports. Maybe I need to find a new hobby. Last but not least, and I know there's not a lot to this podcast because I just don't want to be repetitive, and I can go through and find some stories. You know, people been fighting on airplanes again. There was a fight I think it was a Delta plane. It was a fight on Nippon Airways, Japanese airline. It was, you know, I could talk about that stuff again. I could talk about this little fry festival, which was the only thing funny about this, if you haven't heard about it, was supposed to be a big music festival in the Caribbean for these super rich kids, blah, blah, blah. And they get there and they find out it's a gravel pit. Cold sandwiches, no music, blah, blah, blah. Just a total ripoff run by Ja Rule and some. Hard to feel sorry for these kids. They're like Kardashian kids, you know, kids who can drop $12,000 for a weekend music festival. Sorry you got screwed, but I got my own problems. I think most of America's saying that. But anyway, they'll get reimbursed or they'll do the festival again or who knows. But no sense wasting time on that. As I said, I don't want to be so repetitive with this podcast. I'm looking for a new thread. I'm looking for something new to say, and I hope I find it. I will close with another rant against Apple. What the fuck is going on with Apple? Steve Jobs has to be spinning in his grave. So I get to Pakistan. I have a little iPhone 5 that I use for these overseas trips. A friend of mine who works for Microsoft says you shouldn't take your main phone or a computer to these certain countries, it may get hacked, blah, blah, blah. So I bought this little phone that I could switch SIM cards. It's also cheaper because you could take the SIM card out, put in a SIM card in whatever country you go to and use the phone. So the phone fried itself. I don't know what happened. There was a power strip. It had a surge protector. I plugged the phone in and, you know, and then the phone wouldn't charge, and then I turned the phone off, tried to reset it, and it never came back on. That's okay. It happens. The phone's dead. Here's the problem, Apple. I tried to go to my iCloud account. For those who don't know, Apple, everything you use Apple is connected through the cloud, and they call it the iCloud, of course, because it's an Apple thing. So I go on a computer. I go to sign in. I give my Apple ID. I give my password. It says, we're going to send a verification code to one of your devices. Well, guess what, Apple? If I had my devices, I wouldn't be logging in on a different computer, would I? I wouldn't be using a strange computer if I had my devices. So it says, well, we can reset the account. So you go through. So it asks, again, password, security question, ask for the credit card number that's attached to my account, some other ID stuff. Then it asks for a phone number to send the verification code to. Thinking, me being a, I guess, reasonable person would think, okay, they send the code to a friend's phone. I type in the code and I can go. No, I put in the friend's number. They said, okay, in a few days, we will send a reset to that account. In a few days, Apple? What the fuck? Who cares in a few days? I'm coming home in a few days. So, needless to say, frustrated. No, I never did get in my iCloud account because I didn't have another device. And I posted this rant on Facebook. Now, this was my fault because when you post something on Facebook, you should just put in the disclaimer or the request. Now that I posted it, can I please have some advice from people who know nothing about this topic? So the first people that jump in are the Android people. Well, you should have had an Android phone. It would have made absolutely no difference. It was a power problem with the phone. Okay, so I would have had a power problem with an Android phone. And having an Android phone would not allow me to log into my iPhone account. So that was no help. But my favorite waste of time was the person who said, you're arguing with an algorithm. Yeah, two words, ALGARYTHM, algorithm. If you're going to give bad advice, at least spell it correctly. So very frustrated with Apple, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, I could get an Android phone, but I don't need one. I came home, my iPhone 7 worked fine. You know why, Apple? Because I'm back to my devices. I actually had someone in Pakistan ask me if I brought a spare phone. Of course I would. Doesn't everyone carry a phone and a spare phone? Why wouldn't you? Humans. So that was the adventure. No pictures, nothing to really download because I couldn't take pictures. Didn't have a phone, didn't have my devices. Probably never going back to Pakistan. Don't know if I'll go back to that part of the country. You guys know, part of the world. Not a big fan of Asia, South Asia. Just not my thing. But who knows? If I go, I'll take three spare phones. I'll take an iPhone. I'll take an Android. I'll take a Samsung that explodes. Maybe an LG or something. I don't know. Maybe I'll find a flip phone and an analog signal. I don't know. I'm done. I am back home and back to work. I'm loving it. This weekend, I am at Mohegan Sun. Comics at Mohegan Sun. Great comedy club at a great casino. Next week, Wednesday, I will be appearing at the Improv and the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Next Friday, I'll be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. May 16th, I'm headed to Vegas. Going to be at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club and so on. I'm back. I'm back on the grind. I'm flying. I hope there isn't a fight on the plane. Thanks for listening. I will get back in the groove. I'm doing my best. I love you guys. Thank you. Pakistani diet. Throw up till your abs hurt. Might be some money.